Hello, Angela here with Springs of Zion podcast, where we come together to encounter God. God is raising an army of believers with one heart and one mind of righteousness. We just discovered the waters we have entered are waters to strengthen and empower this growing army by God. We were told in my last podcast the Lord is calling this army the Army of Issachar. So let's start today by praying. Father God, please cover this podcast message today with your heavenly protection to open eyes, ears, and hearts as I share your word, and that your spirit leads this time to allow each one listening to respond for your sake. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So this is part two of Gone From My Sight. If you tuned into part one, you know our mission is to be the hands, feet, and voice of God in this season. God's going to use his Issachar army in the role of the prophetic in this season. God is raising a tribe of prophetic people. These people have an understanding of the times and seasons we are living. God's purposes are fulfilled in our lives, not to be rushed or labored, but occurs when all things have transpired in relation to God's perfect plan. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, we're told, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." This happened at the set appointed time. Jesus came to bring salvation to mankind. Jesus was born at the right time, not a day early and not a day late. God had already set this in place. This was a milestone. Job tells us in chapter 14, verse 5, "Like the length of our days, which have been determined by him." I don't believe we can speed up or slow down these set times and events in which we're entering. The fullness of time is God's sovereign plan. Our prayers and prophetic words spoken over us or by us are coming into alignment with the plans of God. We have to trust that God is in control, and it is through our faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Hebrews 6, verse 12. For today's podcast, I want to remind you of the vision I was given 14 years ago of a huge ship at sea sailing in turbulent waters. And all along the coastline, there was garbage. And as this ship was headed out to sea, it was leaving the sight. It was out of sight of God. God has asked us to turn this ship. But we can't turn the ship, you guys, without God's instructions and directions. And this series is exactly that. As I've mentioned, my podcast is spirit-inspired. It's like the words God gives me wells up inside me, and I can't do anything until it's released. So my plans for this podcast this week are not the plans God's, they were not God's plan. And this has been a struggle. This is the well of the Spirit breaking loose. Many of you listening have this well too. It is developed in the season of the pandemic, and God is saying, "My army needs you." God's army needs to rise up so that God's fire can break loose within each and every one of you. You have wonderful discernment. You know the times that we are living. God wants you to be part of his army. This is a prophetic army. Remember, I said it was a prophetic revolution. Many of you are prophetic, but you have things in your well of your spirit that need to be worked out. I believe we have some time in this season because, gosh, if I look back in the last few months, think of the battles. The battles have been crazy, have they not? I heard a few months back, the pendulum is about to drop. I wasn't really clear about what that was, but I do now know the pendulum are the things that we had to come against or overcome. This was part of the crossing over into this new season that God is opening. If you're concerned about the pendulum and what it looks like this. You're frustrated, you're tired, you can't seem to get a break, you have fear and anxiety. You think the Lord has left you or is angered with you. Your mind is cloudy. You have warfare dreams where you're battling all night. You wake up just completely exhausted. When you make every effort to rise above just more red tape, more roadblocks. You're discerning things in the spirit now, and you've never done this before. You're becoming more aware. But now then you have people now coming against you. I love the saying that if the enemy can't get you in your mind and heart, he comes against you in people that you love. So people now have come against you. They've slandered you, or they've dumped you on social media. There's gossip and unfound judgments about you. These are the spears being thrown by the enemy. You feel restless and hopeless and alone, leaving you with very little peace. This is the garbage, you guys, along that coast that God is about to burn up. Our enemy knows it, and he has come on full force. Has he? Has he not? God is going to pour out his Holy Spirit fire upon each and every single one of you. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, I'm about to salt mine. And we read this, everyone is about to be salted with fire, is exactly, I had to look at my notes, Mark 9:49 and 50. I was giving a knowing that this fire is an all-consuming fire, burning every tear, every stronghold, holding us captive. And if you read Mark 9, starting 49, everyone will pass through the fire. Every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is excellent for seasoning. But if salt becomes tasteless, how can its flavor ever be restored? Your lives, like salt, are to be seasoned and preserved. So don't you lose your flavor. Preserve the peace in your union with one another. I mean, this goes right with what my podcast is talking about, right? We need to come together as a corporation of believers, as an army. Our humanness gets in the way, doesn't it? When our trials or even illness comes over us, we forget to rebuke and declare God's authority over these things that come upon us. Well, with God's coming outpouring, our declarations will be instantaneous. Our spirit will continually seek the Lord to fill us. It's so important. The enemy's spears are coming, but we have this on our horizon. We know we need to be around other Christians because our spirit and their spirit connects. Have you ever been somewhere you start talking to some stranger and you feel like you've known them? That's because they carry the same spirit of God that you do. When we share the same spirit, we are familiar to one another, and there is power in this. That's why church is so important, and the enemy is always after it. When we come together to understand the corporation of believers, it's amazing. God's power is there. I know lots of powerful churches. So if you feel like you're attending a church that's not powerful, take a break. Go visit a couple other churches. Doesn't mean you have to leave your church. Just means you might need a little bit of a spirit filling. The coming shift to God will be in a corporation environment. I've heard this over and over again. We need to be in a corporation of other believers in order to feel God's power. I mean, I know he could fill you at home in your bedroom or your living room, but God is a little bit of a show off. I love that about God. In Acts 4, God shook the building of all those believers sitting there in that first spirit-filled church. Every single believer was filled with the Holy Spirit, a second filling. This isn't about their sin. We're all born in sin. We live in a fallen world. It's not about sin, you guys. It's about a pure, repentive heart that seeks God first above all else. We are to be full of love for others. This is the key. This is the key to visions, dreams, prophetic words. Being aware of where we lack love and immediately repent of it. We are a fallen flesh. You're going to be like, geez, that guy just cut me off. What a pill. And then you repent. Jesus is our example, and he tells us the most important commandments. Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, and all in your soul. The second thing he says, and this is my stumbling block, love your neighbors as yourself. Mark 12:28-34. Write this on your heart. I know this is so much easier said than done, especially when God puts in our path these awful neighbors, awful. I know, it's hard. And then we ask God, more of you, less of me. God loves them too. Ask God for a vision of what he sees them like. That helped me so much. We're to ask God for more of his power. God, fill us with your spirit so we can have love for these people. Because love delivers them. And think of the ripple there. Our salvation is just the beginning of our journey, right? So many of us have stopped here. And then we just read our Bible and we're like, oh, we're good. God's saying, no, I need more of you. We've done the work, you guys. We've attended church, listened to sermons, read novels about God, played gospel music, and still, some of us don't feel the Spirit at all. I believe that's the ship that's out at sea. It's about to come forward, you guys. The garbage along the coast of that coastline is a prophetic picture of what God's people have been going through for the last 75 years. We have been outside the presence of the Lord. We have tried with all our might, our flesh, to find God. I mean, we are the smartest Christians. Because we've been pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. I sometimes hear in my spirit, Angela, will you just listen? Because I'm talking all the time to God. Can you just listen? It's hard to do. God's spirit can only speak to our spirit if we're quiet. But no condemnation. I don't believe it's something we've done. This is a season in which we grew up. We've been unable to be transformed into the fullness of what God has for us. And we're told this in Mark 9. We have waited 75 years to experience God's glory. My podcast, I have shared my journey. I have a testimony of my transformation, and I believe I'm a trailblazer. That doesn't mean I'm special, but God used me so that you could do this exactly. Go back and listen to the Threshold series, the process of my transformed heart. We have to have a transformed heart in order to receive God's fire. And let me remind you, that some of the things that I might be talking about aren't interesting to you, or they don't apply to you, or you don't understand. It's okay. God is using my voice to open up his frequency in this season to draw his people. God has opened a door here on my podcast so you can listen, and he's going to drop blessings, I call them blessing baskets, into your spirit as you listen. The things God needs to tell you, because of your stumbling blocks, he can't talk to you. So then you come to my channel and listen. Our spirits come together, tuning in like a radio, collectively. And then God speaks to your mind and to your heart and to your spirit. This is how you strengthen your spirit for the season we're entering. We must use our Ishtar discernment when listening. God is love. God is of kindness. God is not of fear. So if you're listening to things that make you scared, stop it. Stop it right now. That's your soul. God is opening his anointing across the earth. Let me give you an example. God, in my YouTube channel, this is what he does. I've shared this before. Oliver Anthony. God just pulled this man right out of the pit. He was on drugs. God delivered him, and his testimony will be life-changing for you. Oliver Anthony. He has a number one song right now on the radio, and it's called North Richmond. You got to listen to it. It's inspiring. I know the world media wants us to believe that, you know, there's only a few of us. No, there's a lot more of us who are sick of the plans of the enemy. Oliver Anthony was offered $8 billion for the rights to his song. He was like, no way, man. I work for God. And he was not a Christian before this. You got to go listen to his testimony. He's what I call a ripple. Watch how his love for God touches every single person. It makes me cry. He actually reads a psalm before he sings his song. How often have we seen that? We're going to see music transformed. I don't remember if I heard it or I watched it or if it was some prophetic word. Years ago, somebody said God was going to use people who were on drugs, who were all tattooed up, in his move of God. I think we've entered that. This shift is coming. This is God's outpouring. We're about to witness miracles and the wicked being taken down. Holy Spirit fire is coming for God's people. The Lord reminded me where this ship was headed. This ship is headed out to a storm, right? Way off in the distance, this ship is sailing out of sight. All the garbage along the coast that this ship was sailing next to was the sabotage of this voyage. The ship is the church. The church is headed into a storm. But we don't need to be afraid. Because guess what? We have been refined. We have been prepared. God sent us the plandemic. I mean, think about it. How close were you to God before that? I mean, maybe you were special and God picked you a long time ago. Because God draws us. He picks us. He decides who can come through the door. This tsunami or storm, as John Kirkpatrick, the pastor, said a year ago, it's not just a wind or a rainstorm. It's going to be a tsunami. But I believe, just like Dutch Sheets said in his Given 15, I think the tsunami is fire. I know my prayer life has increased since the pandemic, and that's the cool thing about being in God's army. God's going to teach us through His Spirit to listen, understand, and bring a revolution. We have to pray against God's wrath for His people. We can't stop praying. And then the Holy Spirit said, why don't you read Acts 27 about Paul's shipwreck? Paul's on a boat. He's assigned a Roman officer named Julius. And there's other prisoners with him. But Paul has the favor of God. He's not really treated like a prisoner. He's able to go up on board. And he's able to talk and visit. And his friends are there. Luke writes the book of Acts. Dr. Luke is with Paul. Doesn't sound like a prisoner to me, right? So they're headed down the coast. And they dock a few times, and they make headway because they're headed to Italy, and there are strong winds, and it's fall. It's in the fall because they're hugging the coastline, and they are struggling. They get to Fairhaven. It's near a town, I want to say Turkey, and read this for yourself. Don't take this from me, but I'm just going to remind you what this ship sailed through. And there's some symbolism here and metaphors for us. They remained in Fairhaven. I mean, Fairhaven, if you just look that up, it probably means a place of rest. For, I don't know how long, but a while, until the Jewish fast, which is the Feast of Trumpets, which it starts for us September 26th or 27th. You guys, they waited until then. So we have until then, I believe. God would not have told me to read this. So we have until September 26th or 27th. But we need to be watchful because there's strong winds coming. Paul advised the frightened sailors because of these strong winds that they should not put out. They should stay in Fairhaven. He says, dangerous weather is coming. Men, I can see that our voyage will be disastrous for us, bringing great loss, not only to our ship and cargo, but also to our lives. We should remain here. And in verse 11, the officer in charge says, no, he was persuaded by the helmsman and the captain. He was not persuaded by Paul. So the majority decided to go out to sea. Since Fairhaven was exposed to the harbor, it would make for a harsh winter. They had hoped somewhere to reach the Cretan port, which was more suitable because it was facing south for the winter. When a gentle breeze comes and begins to blow, they assume, we can do this. So they pull anchor and they sail close to Crete. But it wasn't long before the weather abruptly worsened and a storm of a hurricane force came across the island and blew them out to sea, out of God's sight. The sailors weren't able to turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it be driven by these gale winds. And Luke says, as we passed to the lee of a small island called Cuda, we were barely able to get to the ship's lifeboats under control. So the crew hoisted up these dinghies, put them on board, and the sailors used ropes and cables to undergird their ship, fearing they would run aground. As they lowered the drag anchor to slow the speed, to let the ship be driven along, they relaxed a little. The next day, because of being battered severely by the storm, the sailors threw out all their cargo. They threw out their ship's tackle, their rigging board, everything overboard to lighten their load. After many days of seeing neither the sun nor the stars, and with violent storm continuing to rage against them, all hope of ever getting through it alive was abandoned. We've been there, haven't we? After being without food for 14 days, which is a long time, you guys, also the equivalent of 2 sevens, seven represents God's fullness, Paul stepped before them all and said, "Men, you should have obeyed me and avoided all this pain and suffering by not leaving Crete. Now listen to me. Don't be depressed, for no one will perish. Only the ship will be lost. For God's angel visited me last night, the angel of my God, the God I passionately serve. He came and stood in front of me and said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You are destined to stand trial before Caesar. And because of God's favor on you, he has given you the lives of everyone who's sailing with you. So men, keep your courage. I know that God will protect you just as he told me he would. But we must run aground on some island to be saved.'" For us today, where's this island? This island is on Wales with Evan Roberts. My vision, all those people, that ship is run aground and they're coming across the beach, right? I believe that's what God has in store for us at this moment in time. We need to enter the revival of Evan Roberts. And that's why God asked me to learn about revival, is because there is a huge revival coming. And you guys need to step up and stop thinking you're not worthy. You are worthy of God's cause. That's why you were born. So I want to finish this story. On the 14th day of being tossed around the sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. So they took and discovered that the water was only about 120 feet deep. When they got to about 90 feet, they were fearing the rocky coasts. So they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and waited for morning to come. Some sailors pretended to go down to drop the anchors from the bow of the boat, when in fact they actually lowered the lifeboats into the sea to escape, abandoning ship. Paul had said to the Roman officer, as his soldiers were running around doing this, "Unless you all stay together on this ship, you have no chance of surviving." You guys, we have to stay praying together. Doesn't matter where you live and where you're listening. We have to pray together to survive the coming storm. At the moment they heard this, the soldiers cut the ropes of the dinghies and let them fall away. Just before daybreak, Paul urged everyone to eat. He said, "Today makes 2 full weeks that we've been in a fearful peril and in hunger, unable to eat a thing. Now eat and be nourished, for you all come through this ordeal without a scratch." Then Paul took the bread. He took communion. I want to encourage you guys to take communion after you pray. It's very powerful. There were 276 people who ate and who were filled and strengthened and encouraged. After they were satisfied, they threw the grain into the sea to lighten the ship's load. You know, Paul was right. The ship washed ashore completely and totaled. Not one of the men were harmed who listened to Paul. Paul was visited by an angel telling him that this would happen and he would be saved. I want you to encourage you to read these scriptures for yourself. It's great to seek the words of others who hear from God, but eventually this causes confusion within our spirit. You need to hear from God yourself by reading it. And I've always said, if you don't understand the King James, because that's what's been, you know, hammered over my head, read another interpretation that helps you. God talks to us spirit by spirit. You are a spirit. His word is a hidden treasure of his spirit. So now I just want to share, our spirit and your spirit are now connected. God gave me a word this morning. And like I said, I struggled with this and I've prayed. The Lord said, the ship at sea are the ones still working to untangle their flesh. There's a heart change happening right now. Praise God. My spirit has come to remind each one sailing on this ship of the things they have been hanging on to. They're being shown their unbelief and hardness of their hearts. Each layer is being driven out right now. And a glimpse of my face shall be shown, said the Lord. While they mourn and weep, I shall appear to them, and they shall receive rest that only I can provide. Whomever believes shall receive my fire. You shall be baptized by my fire. But whoever does not believe will be sent out to the deep in the sea. By my name, you shall drive out every enemy obstacle that comes aboard my sails. You shall pick up snakes. You shall drink poison, but you shall not be harmed, said the Lord God Almighty. You shall be made whole. And after this, each of you shall be taken up to heaven to sit at my right side. This is called ascension. My remnant army, Ishtar, will have prosperity for all men and women of my clan. This is the small clan, praying and fasting and battling for the regions and countries to turn the ship at sea. I have released my Deborahs to mother those still untangling themselves from the enemy. Their unity of mind, will, and emotions are being sewn up, stitched up anew. My oils applied to my wine makes for easy sewing to drive out any and all enemy, meaning demons. And that's Mark chapter 16. Those ones still unable to surrender will lose everything in the battle of Josaphat. I finally got an understanding, you guys, of what Josaphat is. That is the judge. God judges. That's a battle between your soul. Sort of like Jacob. The battle. Jacob battled with God. Fell asleep and then gets the ladder. That's what's going to happen here. They have refused to bend a knee. And like the two millstones, they will hanging around their neck. These are pride and truth. They'll be ground down until you see the truth that God has for you. And God is going to pour out to all his beautiful believers Holy Spirit fire. God has a plan. We need to trust in it. We need to believe it. If you have any unbelief within you, just be truthful about it. We've spent 75 years in darkness on this coast with all this garbage. God is saying, come to me. I will teach you. I will share with you. Everything that's been stolen is going to be returned. So I just pray that this word encourages you today and that you find hope in the days ahead, because this season is going to be fun. It's going to be rocky, but God said that he's going to protect us just like Paul. We might end up on shore there with Evan Roberts helping in the revival. But if you can't get there, you can stay on the ship and God will help you. I just pray today, Lord Jesus, for everyone listening. I thank you, God, for this podcast, this ability to speak to those, and for all those willing to step up and become part of your army of God, the army of Ishtar, prophetic, profound people, pure-hearted, loving, kindness, generous in the days ahead, and in the days ahead of us. Gosh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Take care. Bye-bye.